The Addiction Podcast, Point of No Return.
We appreciate you listening to the Addiction Podcast, Point of No Return. We don't do this podcast because we are former addicts. We don't do this podcast because we have loved ones who have suffered from addiction. We do this podcast because we feel that addiction is one of the biggest problems facing the world today, and that no matter who you are, no matter your religion, no matter your income status, no matter your race, no matter anything about you, addiction affects you. This podcast is a free resource for anybody looking for help with addiction. If you would like to help us in our fight against addiction, go to www.patreon.com/theaddictionpodcast273. That's www.patreon.com/theaddictionpodcast273 and make a donation of whatever amount you would like. Thank you for supporting us. In the battle against substance abuse, knowledge is power. And now there's a groundbreaking solution. Substance Use Prevention Education, or SUPE, SUP. Imagine a platform that equips parents, families, and individuals with the tools they need to navigate the dangers of drugs. SUP isn't just another website. It's a comprehensive educational platform designed for everyone. From informative articles to engaging videos, SUP offers a wealth of resources tailored to every age group. But what truly sets SUP apart? It's meticulously crafted curriculums developed by education professionals and substance abuse specialists. And the impact? Remarkable. In less than a year, SUP has been embraced nationwide, becoming an invaluable resource in classrooms, homes, and communities. Whether you're a concerned parent, an educator, or someone who simply wants to make a difference, SUP is here to help you. Visit addicted.org/SUPE today to join the fight against substance abuse and start making a difference in your community. Hello, and welcome to the Addiction Podcast, Point of No Return. My name is Joni Siegel, and I am the host for the podcast. My husband, Steve Siegel, is the producer and co-founder of the podcast. We are in our 8th year of weekly podcasting on the subject of drug and alcohol addiction. And it is our purpose to offer hope to people who are either suffering from addiction or have loved ones suffering from addiction. Also hope to some degree to those who've lost someone to addiction. There has to be an end to this situation. And we hope that we put on here people who are helping to bring that end about. We are in our 8th year of podcasting. Today's episode is episode number 368. And before I get into our interviewee today, just a reminder to please subscribe to this podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. And please give us a 5-star rating. That way, when people are suffering from addiction or have a loved one suffering from addiction, they can find us when they Google us. Also, please go to our YouTube channel and subscribe. Ring the bell so you get notified when we have a new episode, and give us a thumbs up on our videos. Also, last but not least, we have been doing this for 8 years because we are passionate about helping to solve this problem. If you would like to support us and become part of the fight against addiction, please go to our Patreon page, patreon.com/theaddictionpodcast, and support us with any dollar amount you might want to do. For less than the price of a venti latte at your favorite coffee shop, you can support our podcast and help us grow. Today's episode is an interview with a lovely lady we have spoken to before, but her message is always relevant and what she's doing is always relevant. And I know she has new things to share with us today. Her name is Amy Ronshausen, and she is the executive director of both Drug Free America Foundation and Save Our Society from Drugs, national nonprofit organizations that work to defeat drug legalization attempts, promote sound drug policies, and prevent drug use, abuse, and addiction. Mrs. Ronshausen has dedicated most of her adult life to the work of reducing illegal drug use and drug prevention. Without further ado, let's talk to Amy Ronshausen. Amy Ronshausen, Executive Director of Drug Free America and Save Our Society from Drugs. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. Amy, I know you've been on the front lines of the whole legalization of marijuana, and actually internationally, you are a spokesperson in the area of drugs and legalization. But Amy, what's the scariest thing you're seeing right now regarding this whole area?
Well, I think that it's something that's been coming for quite a few years, but I think the proliferation of these high potency products and the high potency THC products, the increased availability of them, the increased potency of them, and really the increased use by young adults. Specifically, they say they're using for mental health reasons, but then we see that these drugs are impacting mental health. So I think it's almost a crisis at this point because it's so circular that it's just repeating itself.
Now, when you say mental health, like I know that, we talk about marijuana for like medical marijuana, which I think is used for different physical maladies, but now they're using it for mental things?
Yeah, so there is, through the FDA process, there have been some true medicines derived from cannabinoids from the marijuana plant. And those have been traditionally used to treat things like nausea associated with chemotherapy or seizures in young children.
Right.
But as you know, we have the proliferation of medical marijuana at the state level, and it's used for whatever. And I think that, especially coming out of COVID, we hear a lot more about mental health. And this industry is very savvy. So they purposefully start marketing their products to whatever that new theme is out there, whether it be something that our veterans need because we care so much about our veterans, or if it's something that if you are experiencing depression or anxiety or any kind of mental health issues, that this is the answer to your problems. And obviously we know that it's not. The research shows us, and mounting amounts of research show us, that this is more harmful for us than they're leading us to believe.
And so it's actually being prescribed for young people.
It's being recommended. So because it's not FDA approved, it's being recommended. But I think that not only are they doing it through that, legal statewide program that many states have now, but also just getting it still illicitly off the street. So it's the same marijuana. It's just some of it's sold in a storefront dispensary and is legal. And then, the same stuff that's sold by dealers on the street, both high potency products, both being used for the same reasons.
Okay. So now I'm nauseous personally from this. Not going to do that, obviously. Are you still finding that when you go and you talk, or some of your staff talk to parents, that they still don't get it? That this is not the marijuana of the 70s?
Yes and no. I think that we've done, and by we, I mean the prevention community on a whole. And, Drug Free World is a big part of that, with all of the great resources that they have, that they distribute into the community, information on the truth about drugs. You've got a lot of different organizations going out there and spreading this, the truth about these different drugs. And so I think that in the middle of this opioid crisis, parents are a little more aware because the drugs are in the media all the time now. So I definitely see a shift over the last decade just in parental awareness on the drug issue, period. But I think that there's still a lot of misconceptions in you know, our communities. Probably about 6 months ago, I was at a conference and we were talking about these high potency products and different things that are available through these statewide programs. And I had an ER nurse. So this is somebody who's very well educated, doing wonderful work in the community and helping others, came up and told me that I was spreading propaganda and that medical marijuana didn't have any THC in it. And that's not true. I mean, go to any dispensary in any state and they have high potency THC products and they also have CBD products.
Sometimes the hardest thing about getting someone into recovery is getting them to agree to treatment. Bobby Newman, a certified drug counselor with 30 years experience and an over 85% success rate as an interventionist, has created a series of 12 videos that you can use right now to learn every step to get your loved one to agree to treatment. Call 866-989-4499 today and say the word podcast to get a 10% discount. Or go to newmaninterventions.com and type in the word podcast for a 10% discount. This service comes with a free 1 hour consultation with Bobby. We appreciate you listening to the addiction podcast, Point of No Return. We don't do this podcast because we are former addicts. We don't do this podcast because we have loved ones who have suffered from addiction. We do this podcast because we feel that addiction is one of the biggest problems facing the world today, and that no matter who you are, no matter your religion, no matter your income status, no matter your race, no matter anything about you, addiction affects you. This podcast is a free resource for anybody looking for help with addiction. If you would like to help us in our fight against addiction, go to www.patreon.com/theaddictionpodcast273. That's www.patreon.com/theaddictionpodcast273 and make a donation of whatever amount you would like. Thank you for supporting us.
Medical marijuana still has THC in it.
Wow.
And I think that the industry is just promoting these myths so that it tugs at our heartstrings and that we are more, we're more normalizing, we're more accepting of these dispensaries and the products that are sold there. And that's really the harder battle to fight, because now you have an ER nurse out there thinking that these products are safe and that they don't have THC. And I mean, that's scary.
And it's very scary. And it's exactly like all of the doctors who were duped by Purdue Pharma when they said that OxyContin was, you know, addictive in less than 1% of the people who took it, which was an out and out lie. And it's the same sort of propaganda coming from the manufacturers, the drug manufacturers. And it's very scary. Amy, tell us a little bit about, kind of backtrack a little bit. Tell us a little bit about Drug Free America, how it was formed, how it got going, how you got involved in it. I know it was started by the Semblers, right?
Yes, correct. So we're about 30 years old. I'm not quite sure exactly our number, but we were formed and have always been headquartered in St. Petersburg, Florida, founded by Ambassador Sembler and his wife, Betty, both of whom have recently passed away. We lost Betty in February 2 years ago, and Ambassador Sembler just passed on late October of 2023.
Oh, wow.
But we are still going strong. It's more important than ever that we continue this legacy that they sent forward for us. And we were founded because really two reasons. They saw the impact of drugs in the community that they lived in. They had met with the St. Petersburg Police Department and different city council members, and they just saw that drugs were having an impact, especially on youth, but also on families. And that you could connect almost every harm in society, whether it be public safety, child abuse, you know, all these things had a connection with the drug issue. So they were concerned about just how things were moving. But also, Mrs. Sembler had the foresight to see that we were on a path as a country to normalize drugs and to legalize drugs. And, you know, starting in California, she saw this push, and really she got laughed at by people who thought, nobody's ever going to fall for this. Nobody's ever going to think that this is really going to happen. But she stood her ground, and she told anybody who would listen, and even people who wouldn't listen, the harms of this. And it really is, you know, a testament to her personality and her passion.
You are listening to the Addiction Podcast, Point of No Return. For more information on the podcast or to reach out if you have a story you would like to share with us, go to our Facebook page by the same name, or you can email us at theaddictionpodcast@yahoo.com or go to our website, theaddictionpodcast.com. And please remember to subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts and give us a 5-star review. We appreciate you listening to the Addiction Podcast, Point of No Return. We don't do this podcast because we are former addicts. We don't do this podcast because we have loved ones who have suffered from addiction. We do this podcast because we feel that addiction is one of the biggest problems facing the world today, and that no matter who you are, no matter your religion, no matter your income status, no matter your race, no matter anything about you, addiction affects you. This podcast is a free resource for anybody looking for help with addiction. If you would like to help us in our fight against addiction, go to www.patreon.com/theaddictionpodcast273. That's www.patreon.com/theaddictionpodcast273, and make a donation of whatever amount you would like. Thank you for supporting us.
That, you know, she was able to meet with the highest level of people and made this her priority, and, you know, always stood fast to that. So here we are all these years later, and, you know, both of them had were very active all the way through. And in fact, just a few weeks before she passed, she was calling me about the fact that the U.S. government was thinking about sending safe use kits through the mail as a harm reduction strategy. And she wanted a stop put to this. And so we lobbied Congress, and we actually got it so that the funding couldn't be used for that, but could be used for some other things. So, you know, up until the very end, both of them were very active, and, you know, we continue to, you know, stand on their shoulders to do the work that we do, but we've changed over time. A lot of organizations have started and do this work. And so we like to collaborate with those organizations. We like to enhance what they're doing, and then find what else needs to be done and kind of shift when we need to shift. But we, you know, we always will be a prevention and policy organization. And we do that through education and advocacy and just partnering with like-minded groups really throughout the globe at this point, which is wonderful.
I think that's huge. How did you become involved, Amy?
So a funny story. I mean, maybe funny, not so funny. I just kind of stumbled upon it. This isn't what I went to school for. This, you know, I certainly didn't think I would be, you know, a so-called expert on drug policy when I grew up. I wanted to be a ballerina or an archaeologist. But I, you know, needed a real job at some point. And I had a friend who worked at a treatment center locally and got me involved. And, you know, when I was growing up, my sister had some substance abuse issues, and I saw how that impacted our family. So when I first got into this, it really was giving, you know, hoping to give a voice to, or hoping to help parents who were in the same situation that our family might have been in, because they didn't really know where to turn. They hadn't used drugs. They didn't know anybody that used drugs. Right. And I think that they probably had this, you know, blame. They might have blamed themselves. They thought it was shameful. So they, you know, they were very quiet about it and didn't know who to turn to. But as I learned more about this field, I, you know, I realized now I'm more on the side of my sister, whereas I also, of course, want to help parents and help them through that time. But I see that, you know, this wasn't a fault of my sister. This is something that that happened, and she dealt with it the best way that she could, given the tools that she had. But really, it was our responsibility as a community, and as, you know, human beings, to help provide those tools and provide better, better choices, better activities in the community, just a better understanding of what's going on. And so to help people, you know, regain their lives, restore their families, and be productive members of society and a great community. So that's kind of why I stayed. So I fell into it. And, you know, here I am. Gosh, it's been my whole adult career. I've been with Drug Free America now 17 years.
Yeah.
And before that, I was in drug court. And before that, I was at a treatment center. So it's been a long ride.
Understood. What changes are you seeing today in terms of the whole picture of what's happening with drugs?
I'll tell you, the scariest thing and the thing that is most worrisome is the purity and the potency of drugs today. So, you know, when I was younger, and I'm just turned 50 this year, when I was in high school, I wouldn't say that it was safe to experiment with drugs, because you certainly wouldn't want to, you know, encourage anybody to do that. But today, because of how pure and potent these drugs are, you know, it really is true and not a scare tactic that one pill could kill. And that's the DEA's campaign. And to me, that is just so scary, because, you know, kids, they have no fear. And, you know, they don't have their brain is not developed enough to make those choices about risky behaviors. And the pressure that's out there for them through social media, with their friends, you know, to deal with whatever they're dealing with in life. And then having these drugs that are just so powerful and so deadly, so easily available. I think that's the biggest change that I've seen over the time. And I don't know where we go from here. If it's bad now, what is it going to be? It's to me, it's just very scary.
Yeah. And experimentation is really not, it's not an option. And I know kids are going to do it, but it's, you know, I always use this analogy, and it's a horrible analogy, but it's Russian roulette. If you're going to go and experiment with these drugs, you're basically playing Russian roulette with your life. And yeah, it's super scary.
Yeah.
So, Amy, if you had one piece of advice for parents who are listening, or parents in general, what would that be? What would you say to them?
Listen and keep your eyes open. You know, talk with your kids, and it doesn't have to be, you know, and talk with any young people in your life. And it doesn't have to be, you know, we're having dinner at 7 o'clock and we're going to talk about drugs. It doesn't have to be an uncomfortable, forced conversation. It could be as you're driving by the car and you see one of these marijuana dispensaries, or something comes on the radio. You know, it could be 30-second conversations that just say, hey, have you heard about this drug? And what do you and your friends think about it? Or have you seen this? And what do you think about it? Because, you know, they hear what you're doing. You should definitely be hearing and listening to what they're saying. And I think that, you know, when we look at our student surveys, although as adults, we don't think this is true, it really is true that they do care what we think. And one of the number one reasons why kids don't use drugs is still parental disapproval. So if you're setting those standards as a parent and making sure that they understand your expectations, I think that that goes a long way. Is that the silver bullet? No. I mean, look at my family. My sister and I were raised exactly the same way. We had the same everything, and two different personalities went two different ways. And my sister is alive and well and thriving. So, you know, everything, you know, came out wonderful. But, you know, I also don't want, you know, you could do everything right and this can still happen to you.
Yeah.
But if you put in these protective factors and you listen, you see what's going on, you're aware of what's happening in your community. And by listening to podcasts like this, you're one step ahead of everybody else. So doing those kind of things will really give you the leg up. And the last thing I'll say is if as a parent, you can get your kids to not use drugs, and that's alcohol, tobacco, marijuana, any of those drugs until the age of 18 or even better 25, you have significantly reduced their odds of having a substance use disorder in the future. It doesn't mean that they might not try drugs later on, but they likely will not have problematic use.
Yeah, got it. I think that's great advice. Amy, how can we and the listeners, how can we help you and help Drug-Free America in what you do?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, I think just following us on social media, you know, sharing that kind of stuff with your friends and on your personal pages, and not just us, not just Drug-Free America Foundation. There's so many great organizations out there doing wonderful work. I've already mentioned Drug-Free World. We have Smart Approaches to Marijuana, which is another one that works on them specifically on the marijuana issue. There's a really great youth campaign out there called One Choice, and that's through the Institute of Behavioral and Health. And it's about youth making the choice, the one choice, to be drug free for reasons of health and just, you know, being health and well-being. So I think, like, you know, following all of these places on your social media and sharing their posts, keeping up to date, you know, logging into podcasts, logging into webinars, you know, and if you're in the position to financially donate and help these organizations, that's what keeps us in business. Not just us at Drug Free, but all of the organizations that are doing this kind of work, you know, every dollar counts. And it's the funding is not there to do our kind of work, because it really is, you're doing something, you know, you're not, prevention is not something that you can put a number on, because you don't know how many lives you saved by listening to this podcast or by going to a webinar. So it's really hard to get CERT funding. But there's so many people out there who believe in this mission. And, you know, if you can donate $5 or $5,000 to these organizations, all of that really helps. And then if you're in the position also to be a volunteer, you know, to come to our organizations, you know, meet with us online, and we're happy to, you know, do some training with you and get you out there so that you can be a spokesperson for this message as well.
Yep, that's perfect. And for anybody that's listening, maybe you don't have children who have experimented with drugs and aren't addicted, or maybe you have young children, very young children, and they're, you know, likelihood of doing it anytime soon is not going to be there, but you could still save somebody else's life or somebody else's child's life. And as I've said many times on this podcast, Steve and I don't have addiction in our family. We don't have a history of addiction, but we can't just look at this problem and go, oh, that's Amy's problem. Amy, you handle it. We don't want to do anything about this. And if anybody listening thinks that that problem is over there, you really need to rethink it. And if it's affecting our society, it's affecting you. So, Amy, thank you for everything that you do. You're such a rock star. I so appreciate you taking the time to talk to us, because I know how busy you are. Where were you just recently? You were out of the country.
Yes, I was in Vienna, Austria, attending the 67th Commission on Narcotic Drugs. So it was a very busy and productive week. And we had a lot of global partners there. And, you know, these issues aren't just issues that are in our own backyard. They're the same issues across the globe. So anything that we can do to share challenges, share success stories, you know, will help our neighbors here and help our neighbors across the globe.
That's awesome. You're a rock star. Thank you so much, Amy.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for listening. What Amy deals with is so frightening. And if you're not scared, you should be. She relayed something to us about the use of psychedelics with pregnant women. And we will have her back on so that she can talk about that in the near future. Please reach out to Drug Free America, get information that they have there. She mentioned a couple other websites, Smart Approaches to Marijuana, One Choice, which is for kids to kind of get them to not make that choice to try drugs. And yeah, but Drug Free America and drugfreeworld.org. And drugfreeworld.org has free materials that are for drug education that you can get because they're free. So we'll be back again with another interview next week. And yeah, be well.
You have been listening to the Addiction Podcast, Point of No Return. For more information, reach out to us on Facebook or go to www.theaddictionpodcast.com. Our email is theaddictionpodcast@yahoo.com.